The Other Side of Midnight. 77 WNBC. Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. I hope you had a great weekend. I was in Atlantic City over the weekend for Jeffrey Goldstein's bachelor party. I'll give you some of the highlights throughout the course of the next few hours. But I did want to talk about something that I very rarely spend time on, and that's polls. I don't like the amount of attention that the media spends on polls. I've explained why 100 times. But I think this new poll that has come out demonstrating the unhappiness New Yorkers have with Eric Adams really ought to be a warning sign for him. And I think, as Harry Siegel, the columnist for the Daily News, not considered a right-winger or a progressive by any means, this is exactly the kind of person that Eric Adams should be hoping to vote for him, is that the fundamental problem for Adams right now is that New Yorkers don't think his actions have matched his promises or that his results have lived up to his rhetoric. Now, there's a new poll of likely voters from the Manhattan Institute, which is a conservative think tank, and it's just the latest to show what a deep hole Eric Adams is in, just a couple of years after New Yorkers chose him overwhelmingly to be the 110th mayor. So we all know the issues, we all know migrants, we all know crime, we all know everything. Just 16% of voters, this includes Democrats, Republicans, and independents, just 16% of voters say they'd cast a ballot for Adams if the mayoral election were held today, while 65% say they'd choose someone else. Now, that 49-point gap includes Republicans and independents who are routinely disenfranchised because of the way that we elect candidates in New York City, where really the Democratic primary is the most important election. But let's look at what's going on with Eric Adams and Democrats. Adams is deep underwater among Democrats, with just 20% saying they'd vote for him today, and 61% say they'd vote for someone else. What's even more amazing is among black voters, Adams is losing to not Adams 38-47. They don't even know who the person running against him is. The black voters in the city are prepared to vote for them. Over the last few months, the mayor's new mantra has been jobs up, crime down. Well, we know one thing is down, his poll numbers. I hope he takes this as a warning sign and as an opportunity to right the ship in New York City. Because as Yogi would say, it's getting late early.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Everyone, this is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. I wanted to take just a moment because I was ragging on them at the beginning of the season about what a difficult time they were having and give a shout out to how incredible the New York Metropolitans have been playing. I know they lost on Sunday in kind of a blowout to the Dodgers, but that was after winning six straight games. This is a totally new Mets baseball team from the one that we saw at the beginning of the year. There's still some things to figure out for them, and they still have some key issues with injuries with people like McGill. But I can't tell you how much more optimistic I am about the trajectory of this season now as opposed to 3 weeks ago. I mean, to sweep the Pirates and to take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers after winning a game even before the Pirates series is great. 6 in a row, when the Mets began this season by losing 5 in a row? Did anybody think we'd get to a point where they'd see 6 Met wins in a row? I know I was not optimistic. So the reputation of New York baseball fans is We love to rag on you when you're not doing well, and we don't exactly give praise when things are going well. So I got to tip my hat to all of the members of the New York Mets and all of the fans that have remained loyal. Hey, speaking of baseball, I wanted to give a shout out once again to John Sterling, who certainly occupied a very unique space when it came to baseball broadcasters. And I know some people found some of his nicknames and the phraseology that he'd used a bit irritating. But the fact of the matter is, that's what Yankee fans want, especially on the radio. They love a homer. They love a guy that shows energy and that gets into it. And it's difficult to imagine the Yankees over the last, quarter century without John Sterling being the soundtrack of those games. So he was honored at the Yankee game this weekend at Yankee Stadium, richly deserved, and they even gave him a commemorative jersey, and the place went nuts. I'm wishing him the best of luck, and whatever he does next, I hope he does it in good health. And thank you for all the great baseball memories over the years. God bless you, John Sterling.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
I have long been an advocate of having cameras in the courtroom. In fact, I believe I wrote a letter to the judge in President Trump's forthcoming state case, which is beginning today, or at least opening arguments are beginning today. And I, along with a number of other media organizations, ask that he allow cameras in the courtroom. I can't remember, honestly, if I, I don't remember what the response that I personally got was, if any. But the bottom line is there will be no cameras in the courtroom today. And I really think that's such a shame. And I feel that way about all these Trump trials because, love Trump or hate him, these are historic. And we should be able to see what was going on. And that's why I love what the New York Daily News called for on Sunday. And they embraced the application by the civic group Common Cause New York and the news website New York Focus to order that each day's court transcript from the Trump trial should be posted directly to the website of the Office of Court Administration so that anybody that's interested in knowing what went on in court can go and look. The papers were filed by a very prestigious law firm, and they essentially make the same argument that I've been making for the last 3 years on this program. The tremendous importance of this case demands full transparency. And since New York is basically alone among the states in prohibiting cameras and microphones from trial court, the complete availability of transcripts in a speedy manner should absolutely take place. Trump says that he can't get a fair trial in Manhattan because of the judge and because of Alvin Bragg and because of the jury. The bottom line is voters all over the country have an interest in seeing if he's right. And voters all over New York deserve the opportunity to read the evidence for themselves and hear the evidence that both sides are making. This absolutely should take place. Please release these transcripts, Judge Mershon.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
You know, earlier I mentioned the Racket Report interview that I did with the son of James McBratney. And it's an interesting case, and you should listen to that podcast. Just go to redapplepodcastnetwork.com and search the Racket Report. But what's really interesting about that is John Gotti Sr. was only sentenced to 3 years in prison for manslaughter, which is a pretty sweetheart deal. The lawyer for Gotti in that case was Roy Cohn. Roy Cohen's reputation obviously precedes him. The prosecutor in that case is someone that I've known very well over the years, Philip Minardo, who, after being a prosecutor, went on to be a judge. And he was not only a distinguished elected state Supreme Court justice, he was the presiding judge and the administrative judge when the borough that I live in gained its complete autonomy. I was one of the people that pushed very hard for Staten Island to be a separate judicial district. And then I supported Phil Minardo in that campaign in 2009 when he was running to be a judge on just Staten Island. And by his own admission, my party that I was the chairman of was the first party to endorse him. And he had a legal career that spanned nearly 60 years and was recertified three times to remain on the bench after turning 70 before finally retiring in 2017. He had a very distinguished legal career as a prosecutor, as an attorney in private practice, and then ultimately when he was elected to the New York Supreme Court in 1995 as a judge. And as a judge, he presided over some of the most notable cases New York City has ever seen. So why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning this because I just learned this weekend that Judge Minardo passed away at the age of 82. This was a great man, a man who was not only a distinguished scholar, but a great guy. One of the things that I most enjoyed about him is an anecdote where there was a jury scofflaw, a fellow that just refused to show up for jury service, and he was delinquent, and then he was trying to buy some property or had somehow been shown to be that he had to rectify this. And Judge Minardo not only fined him, but made him serve jury duty and made him write an essay on the importance of jury service. And I always got a kick out of that, the fact that he had such high regard for jury service that he made this guy pay through the nose and write an essay because he was a jury scofflaw. God bless you, Judge Minardo. You'll be missed. To be continued.